Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we are so thankful, Lord, to be here. And Father, we know the weather is a little bit hot outside, but in our hearts, we're not lukewarm. We are hot as well. So, Lord, we just thank you for the fervor that you've given us. And we just pray for the peace, Lord, that comes from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd just like to say a few words this morning before we go any further. And that's Brother Steve. You know, he's 6'4", but he only weighs 150 pounds, probably less than many of you in here. And so he's having a very much of a difficulty getting on the road and with all the crazy drivers and stuff like that. So he's going to be listening from his home and still contributing to the church, you know, the funding and stuff like that. But he won't be our treasurer anymore. And so we're going to pray about that. And but I want you to, he's been faithful for 41 years as a treasurer since about 2004, I believe. No, 1984. So that's 41 years. And, you know, he's quite a brother. So he's been very faithful. And I know Wednesday nights he hasn't been able to make it, but I can count on maybe one hand how many times in 41 years he's been gone on a Sunday. So just keep him in prayer that the Lord helps him to make it so that we can all gather in a tent together. And he said, you know, when he's feeling good you know, he'll be up for service. So just keep him in prayer if you would. All right. So this morning, let me just... This morning, we're going to look at the questions from the minister brethren around the world. And the first one is from Isaac Quispe from South America, from Peru. He said, the first question, why did Leo the 14th take the name of his predecessor, Pope Leo the 13th? Could it be of his social doctrine of the church? Reference, we see in it a socialist, leftist, etc. tendency. Well, first of all, we're not really interested in what motive as a man that he had. What we're interested in is God's motives to bring it to pass. No matter what his motives might be, God's word is identified by it coming to pass. Now, Leo the 13th was, he's more than 100 some years ago. So I don't know if he's really interested in that. But really, Leo the First is where the name was first given, okay? So what did God's word prophesy of this pope? He prophesied what his nature would be. We find out what kind of nature he will have. So in order to find that out, let's go to Revelation 13, and we start out by seeing this other beast, which is America. So Revelation 13:11 says, and I beheld another beast coming out of the great earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now Brother Branham said that's civil and ecclesiastical. He said that's, in other words, in New York City, which is interesting because if you have a map of the U.S., and I have a map of 1812, where the U.S. actually, before the Louisiana Purchase, the U.S. looked just like a lamb. And the two horns were in New York, and of course that's where the World Council of Churches and the NATO is located, okay? Now, if he spoke like the first beast that came after him, in other words, this country, then he must have the same mindset as the first beast, for the scripture tells us in two places, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, a man speaketh. So really, we're not as much interested in his name, where he got it from, which of the Leos, because he's now 14. But we're looking at his attributes and characteristics and what he's portraying and the nature that he's portraying, okay? And then you can see which one he took it from. Therefore, if he has the mindset, then he has the same nature. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. That's the one coming out of America. Now, this word power is exousia, which means he has the same authority. So the United States has the same authority as, if you recall in history, the Roman Empire, okay? And he causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So even though his deadly wound was healed, he still does not execute his authority, but the USA does. And who does this say causes the people to worship the first beast? Well, the second beast that rose from land, which was America. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And we know that's your NASA programs and your moon landing, and there's your Tesla rockets descending like fire out of heaven and docking themselves, if you've all seen it. That was fire coming down from heaven. Thus could not be speaking of any other country than this. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. So we know this image is a World Council of Churches according to William Branham. But it comes out of the United States. So we have the World Council of Churches, which is an image of the Catholic system and is located in New York City, USA. All in the World Council of Churches are Trinitarian and thus daughters of the whore of Revelation 17. Trinitarianism is nothing but an adaptation to Christianity of the ancient Babylonian triad of Anu, Enlil, and Ea, who was also known as Enki. Anu was represented by the sky, and he was a king of the gods, okay? Enlil represented the wind, which would, you know, be like the Holy Spirit. And Ea was also known as Enki, was considered the sun of Anu. So you see where they adopted their Trinitarian from. So you have a father, a son, and the wind or spirit. It is pagan and was adopted by the Roman Church as a Trinity. Now all Trinitarians are false. That is all I will say on that subject. And they are deluded to believing such pagan hogwash. But they do thinking that they are correct, understand the Godhead. They say, well, it's a mystery, but we understand it. Just a minute. Well, we're not supposed to understand, but we understand. There's a Trinity, but we're not supposed to understand. You know, they don't know what they're talking about, okay? Now, we're not going to preach on the Godhead today, but so that you know, Christianity has been taken over by pagans who worship God outside of truth, just like Brother Vail told me, the message has been taken over by the make-believers. And if you don't want to think that way, then you got your head in the ground someplace. So Donald Trump's Department of Faith is led by a woman. That should give you the first clue. Who, by the way, they say she has not been faithful to her husband, who she divorced in 2007, which would make her a whore, which is like the mother church, okay? Her alleged affair was with Benny Hinn, you know, the guy who blows on his audience and they all fall down. Brother Vail came to Brother Branham in the 1960s. He said, Brother Branham, they're now starting to blow on the people and people are falling prostrate. And Brother Branham said, oh, Brother Vail, that's such a filthy spirit. And yet they lap it up. You know, they think, oh, that's a great thing. It's never a great thing for a woman to lay down in front of a man. All right? That's just, and you see it all the time. And listen, I went to some meetings with a friend from Jeffersonville back in the early 80s in Indiana, and I saw the way that these so-called deacons caught the women, and it was filthy. That's all I'm going to say on that subject. So He admitted publicly that he took her to Rome with him as he was deemed a patron of the Catholic arts by the Vatican. So Benny Hinn is a patron of the Catholic arts. Yeah, Benny Hinn, the big Pentecostal that believes in nine gods. You know, he's preached where there's nine different spirits of God. His and her picture were taken holding hands walking the streets of Rome. I've seen it. So now to gossip, but the facts are facts. And allegations are just allegations. But we will know at the White Throne. So you see how this all fits together. Trump's Department of Faith is run by an adulterous woman, and the Pope has sent a bishop to be on this Department of Faith in an advisory capacity. There are nine on the advisory board. He is listed as the number one person on the board, and his name is Bishop Salvador Cordelion, Archbishop of San Francisco. Well, we know where all the gays are at, okay, or most of them. Then there is Father Thomas Ferguson and Bishop Kevin Rhodes of Fort Wayne, Indiana, which are all Catholic. There are four rabbis and one Baptist. And the entire group is chaired by this woman who happens to be a Pentecostal woman. And then there is one Episcopalian priest. So rabbis make up half, and Catholics make up half, if you can say the Episcopal Bishop of Springfield, Illinois, who is the Episcopal Board Chair for the Catholic Athletes for Christ. So you might as well be Catholic. Then I would have to list him as Catholic as well. That leaves a lone Baptist pastor making up the lone Protestant voice. And of course, this divorced Pentecostal woman who is not an advisor, but she is an administrator. And since the tribulation will be involving the Catholics and Jews, we know now why. And he had power to give life is the nature, unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So who will do the dirty work for Rome? The USA, that's who. And who gave power to the beast, Rome, during the Dark Ages? The Emperor of Europe, Charlemagne, that's who. So now we got the Emperor of the US giving power to the beast, okay. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that understandeth count the number of the beast, for it is a number of man, and his number is 666. And we saw the nature of Leo the First, as Brother Branham told us. He killed Christians who opposed him, and the killing was put into church law by Augustine, who rejected the message of Irenaeus and Martin while studying at their school in France. Augustine of Hippo did not directly put unbelievers to death, but he supported the use of coercive measures against heretics, including the Donatists, whom he viewed as a threat to the unity of the church. So this threat to the unity of the church is their reasoning. So this Pope is an Augustinian and believes in the unity of the same synodal fellowship that Augustine believed. Augustine of Hippo argued that the state had a role in enforcing religious orthodoxy, and he endorsed the use of legal and even violent means to bring heretics back into the Catholic Church. His mind was so twisted that he actually believed that forcing heretics to convert was an act of love, as it aimed to save their souls from eternal damnation. Kind of like the pastor of my First Message church that I attended when my wife and I left the church for various reasons. The pastor had told the church to pray for a car accident or a baby death. And my oldest daughter was just born at the time, So I know it was a directed prayer, but he said that this would cause us to come back to the church. So you can see the same spirit even darkens the name of this wonderful message. So in his writings, Augustine defended the idea that the church had the authority to punish heretics and even encourage the use of fines and imprisonment to compel compliance. However, there is no direct evidence that Augustine himself carried out executions of unbelievers. His influence was more theological and philosophical, shaping the church's approach to heresy and the role of the state in religious matters. Now, it's interesting that Leo XIII also worked on, instead of the church being separate from the political, he worked to bring the political in to the church. So we got the same spirit all the way through. But that is exactly the nature of the beast out from the earth, as seen in Revelation 13. And this new pope from America named Leo XIV is also an Augustinian. And we already showed you a couple months ago that Brother Branham said there's something about the influence of a name. Augustine formed a fellowship of like-minded people called a Sodalitium, which was a fellowship or community emphasizing unity of like-minded men. And this latest Pope, Leo, was a member of synodal group who was also appears to have a forced unity within this group until Peru disbanded them. So not only his name, but also the fact that he's an Augustinian and thus a follower of Augustine, first speaks of the nature and character, which I covered in Sermon 219, on his choice of that name. So basically, the name speaks of the character or nature. Ricky means rat and Elvis means cat. Ricky Nelson was not always a Ricky. He was born Eric Hilliard Nelson. And when he wanted to become a popular musician, he changed his name from Eric to Ricky. Elvis Presley was born to be a modern-day Judas. His twin was Jesse, but he was stillborn 35 minutes before he was given birth. And Brother Branham said, both Leo I and Augustine were both rats. So that must be this Leo XIV nature as well. And that name he chose will bring forth the same character that was in Leo I. So just think how a rat operates and you will see his attributes. If we look at the nature expressed in Revelation 13, he must have that nature. And we saw it in both Leo I and Augustine, who killed Christians, and they were considered heretics for disbelieving differently than Leo, and he used force to make converts. Second question then, is Freemasonry currently within the Vatican? Reference, we must remember the struggle, the war, and their excommunication of Pope Leo XIII, and how they exercised secretly silence and muteness, like the conclave that took place for the election of the new pope. Well, the answer is, the origins of Freemasonry was created to fight against popery, but then the Jesuits infiltrated it and took over for their own purposes. I used to have a 3-volume set of the history of the Masons, and each volume was about 6 inches thick, and I had 3 of them, so that took up 18 inches of shelf space, and I just didn't have the room for it. But I read through it, and that is what I gleaned from it. But since it took up too much space, I got rid of it. But it was a lot of cloak and dagger stuff that wasn't very pleasant to read, and it was much like Hyslop's Two Babylons. Now, if you like gore, then I recommend for you Hyslop's Two Babylons, but just because it shows how many Christians were killed, and you know, at the rack and different things. Now, third question, is there really a schism within the Catholic Church? Of course, the formula of the doctrine won't matter. What will matter is the practice, as we call it, praxis, in the Marxist sense. Each cardinal, each bishop, each priest, each episcopal conference, each religious sister will be whatever they want. There won't be any oversight. Well, the answer is, if you read any of the books of Malachi Martin, you'll find he is always talking about the spiritual warfare going on in the Vatican. In my lifetime, I have seen a lot of schism in the church. Pope John Paul I was poisoned only 3 months into his papacy. Then Benedict was forced to retire early after only 3 years. Of course, it will never tell you why. Malachi Martin wrote the following books: The Jesuit, Hostage to the Devil, Keys of This Blood, The Windswept House, and final book was called The Final Conclave. These are some of his books amongst several others. They all dealt with the intrigue inside the Vatican and the internal warfare going on inside. He had been a Jesuit working in the Vatican and even as a media person for John Paul when he came to America. But he became disillusioned by what he saw in the Vatican and he left. He was also poisoned for the things that he wrote. Now, question 4. Do you know the main points of the teaching of the Augustinian order in the form of Pope Leo XIV? Well, the answer, first let me say it is cloaked in progressive words like community and helping others, which sounds very Christian, but has been taken over by the modern liberals and communists. And if you notice, they try to help you as long as you go their way, but they will burn down your cities if you don't do what they tell you to do, just like the communism and BLM did. They all claim to be the party of people, but rule over them and keep them oppressed. As long as you toot their horn on it, you are accepted, but the moment you show any different thoughts, they try to destroy you. This is the same nature that Augustine had when he killed those whom he called heretics, just like the Muslims do, with both having the same nature. As long as you do what you are told to do, they will spare you. And it is the same spirit as Satan's son Cain had. We see it all over the world today. All right, question 5. Pope Leo XIV has made it clear, and let me just stop for just a moment and just say this. You people have to get your minds off this Pope. Get them on Christ. You know, we know, we've been taught by the prophet that every seed will bring forth after its kind. So you know where it's going to go to. And if you focus on these things, it will really depress you. So, you know, I don't even know why I took these questions, but I think just to bring some clarity to the brothers. But honestly, by looking at these things, it puts them in a fearful means instead of looking forward to the coming of the Lord, and that takes all the fear from you. Well, question number 5. Pope Leo XIV has made it very clear that he will continue building a synodal church, but reformulating some themes of his pontificate in more Augustinian terms. What are those terms? What does he want? He wants a unified church to his Augustinian terms. In Peru, there's a declining Catholics despite the election of Pope XIV. A survey by the Institute of Peruvian Studies revealed in 2024 that at least 64% claim to be Catholic, but by May 21st of this year, evangelicals went from 8% in 2024 to 11% in 2025. Whoop-de-doo, they're all Catholic anyway. You see, if they've been baptized in Trinitarian baptism, they're Catholics, okay? So, who do not identify with any creeds are 12%, and atheists are only 1%, 3% do not know and have no opinion. Sincerely, Brother Eduardo. Well, the answer is a synodal concept is a walk together in a journey collectively. It sounds communism, doesn't it? All right? It sounds nice until you read the Bible that says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? So they force agreement. It is a forced communal experience like the 15-minute city is a forced communal experience, right? As I said, look at any progressive movement around the world and they all force compliance on you. That is the very nature of the mark of the beast, is compliance or you get canceled or boycotted. Now, questions from Africa. From Satan's Eden number 154, Questions and Answers, February Ministerial Meeting, February 18, 2024, Brian Kosorek, Pastor. We will see them and even God's prophet when he returns. So the question, will we see him and will Moses and Elijah receive this message and bring it to the Jews? I don't understand how Moses and Elijah will bring the message, we believe, to the Jews. As you just said in the sermon, Satan's Eden, number 154, February 18, 2024. Will there be a preacher who believes in our message, who will preach the message to Moses and Elijah, or will God reveal the message to Moses and Elijah, which we believe in as they are prophets and only God reveals his word to a prophet? Well, I ask the question, why do you think a minister is going to do it when God has a prophet for the hour? And the prophet for the hour has a pre-resurrection ministry and a post-resurrection ministry, okay? So apparently you do not understand what Brother Branham, like Jesus, that Brother Brown, like Jesus, will have a pre- and post-resurrection ministry. And Peter learned a lot from the Apostle Paul. And so will Moses and Elijah have a post-resurrection ministry to add to their pre-resurrection one. They both already had a pre-resurrection ministry. Now when they come back, they're going to have a post-resurrection ministry. What about in between? All right? If you understand Brother Branham, he looked forward to performing the sign of Messiah to the Jews, taking his ministry to the Jews. He looked forward to it, but God told him it was not yet time. How will this be? I don't know. But when the Old Testament saints are joined together with the New Testament saints at the resurrection, when we get our change, that part of the resurrection, Moses and Elijah will have to be there in that realm. They'll have to get their change. Look, they're not changed yet. They're not in a glorified body yet. They're in a celestial body, okay? They're in a spirit body. And they will take this message like a runner is handed the baton in a relay race. How do the Old Testament saints get resurrected again? No, they don't get resurrected again. But they are not yet in their glorified bodies, so they are waiting on us. And when we get our change, they will also. That's what it says. It says, Paul was a Jew. He was in the very first age, just 30-some years after Jesus, right? And he says, and when they which without us cannot be made perfect, he's talking about those people that had already fallen asleep. They were resurrected, but they weren't changed. He's talking about the Jew. He's not talking about, you know, all the way down to the end. Well, he's talking about that too. Because at that time, then all that died in Christ, and those Old Testament saints died in Christ, they're looking forward to him. We're looking back at him, but we all died in Christ, all those that have, will be changed, resurrected, will be changed, okay? So, God came down with a shout. That's the message. That's to get us ready for a resurrection. The voice is the resurrection, but the trump is the change of the body and catching away. Now, if the Old Testament saints don't have a glorified body yet, when do you suggest that they'll get their glorified body? I believe at the same time that we do. That's why Brother Branham said, I saw him for two blocks coming in. Lots of people. So don't think there's going to be a whole lot of people that claim to be Christian that are going to make it. There's going to be some there and some that were Jews. All right? But we all get changed together. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're all caught up and get our change, okay? Now, will Brother Branham do the sign of Messiah in Israel? I do not know. I'm not a prophet. But if he thought he would do it there, doing the sign of Messiah, is this to support Elijah and Moses in their ministries? I do not know. All right? So then again, dear Brother Brian, may God bless you. The following questions concern the last mini-series, The Third Pole and the Squeeze. Quoting Brother Bram in his sermon, The God of This Evil Age, notice Adam's bride caused natural death to the race, the human race, and the second Adam's bride, Christ's engaged bride, has plunged the whole church to a denominational death to take the mark of the beast by the scientific. So the question number 7 is the mark of the beast a spiritual mark or a material, a physical mark, as he said, first denominational death, then by scientific? Well, I'm going to split that into 2 points. First of all, I answered this in my series on the third pole and the squeeze. In it, I said there has been a mark in the minds and actions for almost 2,000 years now. There has not been a boycott through finances yet, so we had to wait for the scientific to catch up for it to happen in order to bring this mark into manifestation. We have seen this pattern in China with their social scoring used to shut down people's ability to buy and sell or even operate their cars. It will be a matter of a short time and it'll be turned on the Western culture. God spoke in his word before the world was framed, and yet it has not been manifested because there had to be a science to make it manifestly open, and we now have the science to bring on the boycott. Through technology or science, as Brother Bram said, you will not be allowed to buy or sell or even ride a commercial transport of any type. The trial run was already established under the last pandemic, and they have science to create more pandemics. So you see how science is being used and to manipulate everything. All right. Question number 7. You quote in the third pole and squeeze, part 3, page 3. People have always had the... You see why I'm very careful in what I say? Because people are reading the sermons and then they're doing like they do with the message and kind of, instead of just taking what I say, they're taking it and examining it and pondering over it and coming up with their own ideas. And I don't like that. I think we should say what the prophet said, okay? Now, question number 7b. You quote in the third pole in the squeeze, part 3 and page 3, people have always had the mark of the beast in their thinking. Then why don't they just stop right there? All right? No, which is spiritual, and in their actions, but we had to wait for the science. So if it's spiritual only, yet it's in their actions, it is already material, but we don't have the boycott. You see, people have had the mark of the beast for ages, but they didn't know it because there was no boycott. But the boycott actually presents the finality of the whole thing, all right? Now note, which is material to be created to bring forth into manifestation. Let's see. So we had to wait for the science, okay. So how will the material will impact the spiritual to bring it forth into manifestation? So 7b, it's the other way around. The spiritual, which is already here, will take on flesh through technology or science. The spiritual mark doesn't have to be a physical mark. The technology is what manifests that it is. Notice they had the mark all along, but there was no science or technology in existence yet to create a boycott to those who did not go along with their belief system. There has to be science or technology to force the boycott or cancel culture they create. You see, you can't say that Revelation 17, we know it's been since the Catholic Church she's been the whore. But then we read in Revelation 13 that the United States, or the image of the beast, this beast that came out of the land with her technology created lightning to come down and, you know, fire to come down from heaven, all these things, then they will create a system to bring forth the boycott, which will manifest who has the mark of the beast. Now, if you are a spiritual person, throughout the last 2,000 years, you know who's a Christian and who's a make-believer. You just know. Brother Brown said, I could walk into a person's office and then within 3 minutes I can tell you whether they're a Christian or not, and you can too. All right? So we've known all along, it won't take the boycott for us to know who has the mark of the beast, but it will take that for the world to realize, hey, we've all got it. Okay? They've all got it. So, see, can you give us more light about this next spike? All right, another subject. And I think I mentioned it a few weeks ago. All right. Well, the answer is, before I talk about this, I want to say that we brought out some time ago about the next vaccine they have planned for the next pandemic, and they have scheduled to hit the world. The M, as in M's next spike, stands for mRNA technology. And the word next spike, not next, that's an English word. Next is a Latin word, all right? Next means, in Latin, it means death. So it will be a death spike. All I can say is it's named death spike, so I would not take it if my life depended on it. Why would you take something that knowingly is poison? The spike will be deadly or will cause death, as the other so-called vaccine also caused myocarditis and pericarditis. It also causes men to lose their sperm count, which means death to the future generations, and it also causes women to lose their fertility. That's already been proven. It's already done. So what kind of death will the next spike bring? I don't know. Their imaginations, like it said in book of Genesis, in Noah's time, it says, and the imagination of men was continually evil all the time. So they're always coming up with scientific ways to kill people. Question number 8. In third poll and squeeze part 2, you said, so you see, it was not William Branham who descended with a shout. He was only a voice God used. Then it must also be God in the voice, using the same voice to bring forth the resurrection. Now, I don't know why that's a question. That's a statement. That's actually fact. Brother Ram said so. You know, he said, the same voice that said, Lazarus, come forth, will call forth the resurrection, not the bride. You know, there's a lot of people in the message get highfalutin and they think, well, we're God, and so that we're going to call for the resurrection. No, you're not. I'm sorry. If you can, do it. You can't do it, okay? Now, question 8. A, do you mean the shouting voice and the shouting voice being the same thing? Well, he said in the rapture, three things happen: a shout, a voice, a trump, has to happen before Jesus appears. Now, a shout, Jesus says all three of them when he's descending, okay? It doesn't say Jesus, says God brings with him, okay? Now, question A, answer. God is the word, right? So the voice is that portion of God's word that awakens the sleeping saints. The shout was that portion of God's word which prepared the living to receive a change. Even though God does all three things, three portions, it's just simply three portions. Look at it as three portions of the same descent. All right? So can we say then that the voice is within the message, a shout, as you said? See, the problem is people are trying to dissect this. You don't need to do that. You don't need to say, well, then if this means this and this means, if 1 + 1 = 2, well, then is 2 - 1 = 1. Give me a break, people. This is not to be fussed with. It's to be believed, okay? Can we say then that the voice is with the message of shout, as you said, then it must also be God's voice doing the same thing to bring forth the resurrection. So the answer is, well, the shout resurrects the bride spiritually, does it not? Then the voice resurrects the saints physically, does it not? But it is the same God who is the Word that does all three acts or portions. Is that too hard to understand? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. And God said, let there be light, and then he brought forth the Son and finished off the creation through his Son. I mean, is it that difficult of a thing to understand? So question 9. The seventh week of Daniel 1:23, Brother Bram said, there's one man in the world that can stop a war or begin a war without, by saying one word, that's the Pope. Question 9a. As Pope Leo XIV is willing to stop the Ukraine-Russian war, will this be the fulfillment of 1 Thessalonians 5:13? For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So, A, I believe it will. But remember, the shout, voice, and trump are three portions. I believe it will, but remember the beast from the land, which is America, gives life to the image of the beast and forces all to worship the first beast, which is Rome. Now, it had looked like President Trump was going to do this. But he couldn't do this. And why hasn't any other pope stepped in to do this? They couldn't do it. Remember, Brother Brown said in Jezebel Religion, right over here in Middletown, he said the pope couldn't do it through religion. So he brings in politics, and through politics and religion, they get it done. You see that? So you need the two working together. You need the Pope and Trump working together to get it done. All right? Now, it looked like President Trump was going to do this, but he couldn't. So he turned it over to the Pope, and when he does, it gives life to the image and worship to popery. And remember, the Pope couldn't do it either by himself. So Brother Bram said they would bring politics in along with religion, and there they will get it done. So Trump started it, and the Pope finishes it. Politics and religion. Now, question 9. Will this sudden destruction be the Third World War or the fulfillment of the seventh vision of William Branham? Yes, I believe that is what will take place, but that will not be the last of it, for the whole earth will boil over in hatred against the Jews until the whole earth will be destroyed by nuclear fire. Remember, not one bomb will fall until we are in the arms of Christ. But I do not believe when we go, the rest of mankind goes, because you have the U.S. destroyed by fire, Brother Ram's seventh vision. And the Vatican will be destroyed by fire, according to the book of Revelation. And don't forget, the whole world will dissolve with fervent heat, according to 2 Peter. And that will be when Armageddon takes place, which the armies of the world are destroyed by fire. Does it all happen at once? I would say that we don't have to worry about any of this, because it's not for us. We'll be enjoying 3.5 years at the wedding supper. So when it comes, I don't know and really don't even care, because it doesn't concern me. And it shouldn't concern you either. Question number 10. In your sermon, The Third Pull in the Squeeze, part one, you said, so God has something in all the saints, it says, come with him. So everybody that's going to be resurrected is probably in that cloud, in that theophonic form or some way. But I can't explain it. So what did you really mean by everybody that's going to be resurrected is probably in that cloud? I meant what I said. All right. I saw the picture. Anybody in here went to Brother Vail's house and saw that big magnifying glass used to read with? You remember that, of course. And so anyway, I saw that picture. He handed it to me, rolled it out, gave me the scope, the looking glass, okay? And I looked through it, and I saw all millions and millions of fish. They were so tiny. It's like Find Waldo, you know? I mean, you could look at all the faces and not recognize anybody because probably from other ages, whatever. You know, if you want to take time and maybe spend 3 or 4 days and look at every image, it'd probably take you more than 3 or 4 days. It'd take you a long time. So I'm not a prophet, so I don't know for sure who was there. But I know what I saw, and when I looked through, I took the magnifying glass and looked at that picture, I saw millions of faces. I mean, there's probably 100 or more, maybe more than that, per square inch. Have you ever looked at some of these art and they say, find the 7 birds in this picture? And you start looking, the first few are easy because they're bigger, but then you start seeing birds within birds, and well, that's the way it was. It was like looking at something that was, it was very interesting to see anyway. So Brother Ram told a deacon in his church, he said, I saw you in there, and that was Brother Hick, according to his testimony. So that is what I know. Now, question 11. The same miniseries, you quoted the prophet speaking about the third pole and the loss. Let me just say this for the brothers in Africa. The question should be, what did the prophet mean by this? Because I say what, I just say, look, he says what he says, that he means what he says. And if you want to know scripture, I can help you with that. But when I make a statement, I think I'm telling you in 8th grade English what it is. I mean, Brother Vail said, I wish my ministry was like yours because you make it so simple for the people. In fact, he said, you could preach this message better than I can. And I said, Brother Vail, you know that all liars go to the lake of fire. And, you know, he's just sitting right there next to me, and he just kind of gives me that $5,000 smile. And he said, well, what I mean is, I've never been able to break it down so simple, and you make this message so simple people can understand it. Well, why then are people not seeing that, you know, I mean, why do we have to have like a president say, well, it all depends on what this word means, and another president say, well, it all depends on what this word. Why is simple words made into language gymnastics? It shouldn't be. You should just take it for what it is. So, question number 11, the same miniseries, you quoted the prophet speaking about the third pole and the lost people. From Souls in Prison, he said, and notice when the third pole of his ministry comes, the first was healing the sick. The second was rebuking their organizations and prophesying they had done. They were what they were and what was coming and what is and what it will come. What is and will come. That's what he done. Is that right? But his third pole was when he preached to the lost that couldn't be saved no more. So Alpha being Omega, will this take place during the resurrection ministry as in the Alpha? I already told you when it's taking place. It's taking place now. The prophet is not in this dimension, but his tapes are. So his preaching is. And he even said in many places, he said, my voice will haunt you. Now, as I said, I'm not a prophet, but Jesus went to the souls in hell while not in this dimension and preached to those lost souls. He didn't use a tape recorder, did he? I believe Brother Bram's voice is preaching now to the totally lost in this dimension as well, although he personally is in another dimension. I believe the, and I won't say their names, but the people who fight against this message are still going back and listening to tapes to try to find another thing they could hold against Brother Branham, and that voice is going to haunt them. Do you really think the people who rejected the voice of the sign got it? No, they didn't get it. That's why they listen to more and more and more, trying to find something they can get, and they can't get nothing. You know the people that believe the sign guys, who rejected the message, do you really believe others who rejected God's voice of this generation got it? Do you really believe that someone could be raised in the tabernacle for 50 years and then turn away from this message when they're 70 years old? Do you believe that all turned down the prophet by turning down what he told us for doctrine will be saved? Do you believe where I've gone through 59 nations, preaching to 3,500 plus ministers, and they say to all the ministers that were with me, they kept calling them and saying, well, you know, we actually do understand that he's right, but we don't need to teach it to the people, and we won't, and we've told the ministers, don't use those quotes that he used, all right? Do you think they're going to be saved? Do you think the ministers where Brother Ben goes over to a minister's meeting in Uganda and they're told you can't use the quotes from the prophet? You can't identify with the prophet. You can't use his name. You think they're saved? I think they're Antichrist. You think all the oneness Pentecostals that make fun of Brother Branham and the serpent seed by pulling out a snake out of their pocket, you know, like a rubber snake or something, and say, oh, you know, they believe that serpent seed. Do you think they're saved, people? I don't think they're saved. I think they're a bunch of hellbound heathens. Okay? When you can't recognize what God is doing and accept the voice and the teaching of that one who God sent, you're lost, period. You just don't see it, you're lost. I don't care how nice you are. I don't care, you know, how fatherly you are, how brotherly you are. I don't care what kind of personality you got. You're lost. You're going to hell. All right? Brother Bram said from projecting of love, he said, my voice will haunt you. His tapes are played to 2.5 million people. Do you believe all who hear that voice will be saved? Then why did he say, my voice will haunt you? Do you understand that many people who won't listen to anybody, but they'll listen to Brother Branham on tape, that voice, that same voice is going to haunt them? Why do you suppose Jesus spoke in parables? He said that in hearing they might not understand. I shared a quote from God's prophet where he said, we speak the word in such a way as to cause some to ponder over it, and other to go out. So all who heard the sound of his voice are judged by that voice. If they are not saved, then they are lost. And you can't be partially saved. If you are lost, you are totally lost. If you are saved, you are totally saved. So why do we try to say, well, this poor son or this poor daughter or this poor person, you know, they don't believe this message, they've turned on this message, but you know what, maybe they'll be saved. I'm sorry, you can apply your token, but they're lost. All right, now you were all lost at one time, so I'm not saying they can't change. What I'm saying is in their position right now they are lost people, and unless God does something to change them, They're going to stay lost, okay? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we know that's tough. We know that, but that's your word. And so, Lord, we just thank you for having seen us in your mind before the foundations of the world, and then giving us life through the baptism of the Holy Ghost to bring into manifestation true sons and daughters of God. And we thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face shine upon you.